FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is Brexit minus one. For those of you not in the know, that means that it is June 22nd, 2016. And Ned Schmidt is on with us right now. Ned, you write the AgriFoodValueView.com report and the Value View Gold report. And hey, it's the kumbaya economy. There are too many bull markets for you out there. You're starting to get unhappy on me here. I don't know what to do.
Well, I'm not unhappy, but you got to learn to deal with prosperity. You know, you know, you just don't enjoy prosperity all at once.
And so prosperity's no longer just around the corner, huh?
No. Not as long as you own the right stuff, as the street always says.
Yeah.
But, you know, if prices in commodities, precious metals, and in the agriculture sector are just stronger than anybody would believe. And a lot of investors, they bought into this hooey that came off the talking heads and the strategists in the street. You know, a year ago, they told us the dollar was going to soar. Well, this morning, the British pound was over $1.47, and their beloved dollar index. Mm-hmm. And since this is a family show, I can't use the words I would use to describe the dollar.
Okay,
index.
As long as you got it, it is a family show. So we got to be mindful of the FSN family out there. We don't want to offend or shock their sensibilities.
No, we won't do that. But the dollar index, and I'm so far this year, from the beginning of the year to through yesterday, the dollar index is off 5%. Not only did the dollar not appreciate, it went down. And that has lit the world up. I mean, we've got gold stocks up 80% plus. We got silver and gold ETFs up 20%. And tomorrow we have Brexit. Now, I don't know what's going to go on with Brexit. I don't think it matters a whole lot. But the short-term indicators that people use for market timing are all going to turn to buy signals tomorrow on the day of the vote. The intermediate signals aren't going to kick in until next week. So I think we're passing through one of these times brought on by the street deciding this week that Brexit's going to lose. Well, we've got some good opportunities in gold and silver. This is a whole week where we should be buying. Now, what's going to sustain the bull market in gold and silver is the Federal Reserve. I'm William F. Buckley. I'm going to use a saying he was famous for. I would rather have the next 19 cab drivers coming out of Newark Airport run monetary policy than any 19 economic PhD.
I would just update that and say I'd take the next 19 Uber drivers. Forget the taxi drivers. They're just licensed by the state. I'll take the Uber and Lyft drivers. Right?
I mean, these people have no idea what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They build up that we're going to raise rates a quarter point in June. Well, they wimped out on that. Now, they're not going to raise rates in July. The July FOMC meeting is in the middle of the Democratic National Convention. There is no way they're going to raise rates during the Democratic National Convention. It ain't going to happen. There's no meeting in August. So their first opportunity to disappoint is not till September. And so you take U.S. interest rate increase off the table till September, which means the bull market and the dollar is really going to be over because it was all nonsense to begin with. So we don't have a single rational central bank in the entire world. I mean, there isn't one. So the gold and silver have a free ride. Now, the other component of that is people still don't own it. I mean, despite the money that's moved into gold and silver and that has moved it up off the lows 6 months ago, it's still seen as a trade on a Brexit for a week and things like that. It is still not in people's portfolio. People are still sitting on biotech stocks waiting for them to recover, which ain't going to happen.
Yeah, bio-dreck.
And they don't own gold. Yeah, so the case just keeps unfolding. And if Brexit occurs tomorrow, that's just jelly on the sandwich. You know, it's just extra.
Yeah. What are the odds, though, really, that it's going to be allowed to happen, that they can stop it? Elections are manufactured under the best of circumstances. It's going to be interesting to see. But I think you're right. Long term, ain't going to matter one way or the other.
And the thing is, let's say the vote is no on Brexit, and it comes out 51-49 or 52-48. It's out of the horses out of the barn. It means that half of England can't stand being part of the EU, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, who could blame them for that?
But if we look at the way elections have been going, I mean, we've had two nations in Latin America switch from left-wing socialists to sensible people.
Argentina, and what was the other one again?
Brazil.
Brazil, of course, right. They impeached and convicted their president. I don't know if they convicted her, but they suspended her and tossed her ass out of the seat of power.
Yeah, but they're just, you know, last year England had the election? I think it was early last year. Mm-hmm. The polls had the government barely winning, maybe losing. Well, it wasn't even a close race. The government won the election hands down.
Yeah.
And then you turn to the U.S. election. I mean, who would have predicted 8 years ago that Donald Trump was going to be the Republican nominee?
A year ago, Ned. Who would have predicted a year ago? I mean, people would be lined up at the door to buy whatever it was that you were ingesting by whatever means here. Let's face it. No one could have predicted this. I think he announced on, was it June 17th of last year, something like that, mid-June. And here we are a year later. Who's the nominee? So
there's something different in the water. Something's in the water, and I don't know what it is, but the world is changing. And I think Brexit is just a symbol of that.
Mm.
And when you start shaking up governments, people, they're not going to run out and buy some more Apple stock. Do you think people in England are, you know, worried about a Brexit, or even if Brexit doesn't come this year, will it come next year? You know, they're not going to go around and buy Apple in relief. They're going to and take the gold out of their safe deposit boxes. People don't do that.
No.
And now, the other thing before I forget is what's holding down gold is the massive sharp sales by the producers. Those net short sales are approaching 30 million ounces, which is the biggest net short position the producers have had in years.
Yeah, what is wrong with
that? So I think the bankers have them scared that if you don't hedge, your line of credit is at risk.
Yeah, they've always got that club over their heads, unfortunately, under the current system, because you want your stock listed, who's going to do it? And you want your line of credit, who's going to do that? You want your capital loans for equipment, and every step of the way, mining is heavily dependent upon the free and easy flow of credit, just like the oil patch, which we're seeing what a disaster that is now.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to continue to be. Now, on the gold stocks, Kerry, we haven't seen yet. I mean, we've only had gold prices up for 6 months, and that has not yet started flowing through the gold companies in the quarterly reports for the first quarter. It will be hints of it in the second quarter reports. And where it's really going to kick in is in the September quarter reports, because on average, these companies have done an amazing job of maintaining production. So they've got their production levels fairly well under control. And then in the third quarter, we're going to see the gold's appreciation kick in to those income statements. And so we should see some very good earnings reports coming out of these companies as we move through the year. But so while they've had a big bang, that's only act one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, totally. And hey, let's not forget, lower cost of oil cuts their operating costs dramatically to produce an ounce of whatever, whether it's gold, silver, copper, because all mining is about is using energy to dig up rocks, incredibly energy intensive activity, crunch up those rocks, apply chemicals, heat, right? I mean, that's what it's about.
Right. Yeah. I mean, basically producing a metal from ore is consumption of energy, you know, it's of some form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, how about some agriculture?
Yeah, I was going to say, and we've got a lot of movement in those ag pharmaceutical stocks too, but let's talk about ag first, corn and what else is going on?
Well, the big one is soybeans is what's going on. Soybeans are the number two vegetable oil in the world. Number one is palm oil. Number two is soybean oil, and number three is canola out of Canada. And we are facing in the next year a severe shortage of soybeans. Right this summer, the USDA, Department of Agriculture, estimates we'll only have 36 days of supply left in the United States.
That's a disaster.
Next August, 36 days of soybean consumption. Next August, they predict that's going to be down to 24 days of consumption. We're facing a major shortage of soybeans. And what makes it worse is Canadian canola, which is the third source of oil. They're predicting by next summer we'll be down to 17 days of canola supply in Canada. Mm. Now, what that means, these two commodities, particularly soybeans, price can do anything now. Because if you run a plant that produces soy meal and soy oil from soybeans, a cucumber will not work, okay? You just got to have a soybean. And Kerry, if you're the buyer for a major soybean user, you're not going to tell your boss, well, we couldn't buy any this month, so you're going to have to shut the plant down. You don't tell your boss that. And so soybeans price is in one of those special conditions where the price could go anything, where it's trading about 11 something. There's nothing to stop soybeans from going to $15 a bushel. I mean, it just isn't. And we have a similar situation in corn. We've got, of the 18 commodities I've followed, the average gain from their 12-month low is 29%. I mean, some of these prices, sugar's up 87%. Soybeans up 32%. Eggs are up 68%, finally. Pork and hogs have been hitting highs. And what we're seeing is a complete change in the cash flow of farmers in process. And so the world is looking far better in agriculture than it has in a year. And the stocks are starting to reflect that. I mean, half of the ag stocks have outperformed the market this year. And you've got some that have done very well. And there's some opportunities there. The one that sticks out to me, and I don't understand, is Monsanto. It's trading about 107 to 108.
Everyone loves to hate them, you know. Everyone loves to hate Monsanto.
Yeah, well, they're going to change the name, so it's going to throw them off for a couple of weeks.
Well, some people never catch on.
You know, they're still fussing about ethanol, Jiminy.
Yeah.
The Bayer bid for Monsanto is 122, so there's a $14 potential profit there. But Monsanto is saying, that's not enough money. We just want more money.
Yeah.
Give us more money.
Yeah.
And this is one of those crazy deals, Kerry, that's being driven by the advisors.
Of course.
I don't think without the advisor, Bayer would have ever figured it out.
Uh-huh.
And so the advisors want their fee.
Of course.
So I think they're going to raise the Monsanto bid.
Think so.
And that
yeah.
looks interesting.
Yeah.
Now the company that's definitely benefiting. See, we've got Syngenta and Monsanto are two publicly traded stocks in the seed and crop protection, herbicides and pesticides that are going to disappear. So for a while, FMC is the only company in the crop protection business that has a public stock. And so FMC has been doing well, and it's going to continue to do well because money has to buy FMC that's coming out of Syngenta and Monsanto. And so FMC is attractive. Whenever Dow and DuPont get their deal done, that stock is likely to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the third one, and people, you got to use your head, not look at the chart on this one. It's JBS, which we've talked about before. This is a Brazilian company. It is the largest animal protein company in the world. 75% of their revenues come out of the United States. But because it's a Brazilian company with primary trading in Brazil, the stock doesn't do what it should do. The company is going to fix that. They're going to put essentially all of their international meat operations, everything outside of Brazil. They're going to put these animal protein companies, Swift, Pilgrim's Pride, in a separate company, JBS International or something. It will be headquartered in Ireland, so they don't have to pay taxes. And its primary trading is going to be in the United States. So suddenly we're going to have sometime in the future the only animal protein stock in the world trading in the United States. And that stock is going to end up in institutional portfolios. And so JBS is a stock to own. Don't look at the chart because history doesn't mean anything anymore. The only thing that matters is what's going forward. So there's some real good opportunities there. And it doesn't matter what the Federal Reserve does.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You just look around here, Ned, there's the volatile markets, the uncertainty. I mean, even Bitcoin has come roaring back to life. It was trading close to 800 the other day. Now it's, I haven't even looked at it today, frankly, but last I looked, it was trading close to 700. And I mean, that was like given up for dead a couple of years ago. Like nobody wants Bitcoin. Right now it's at 651. So the volatility of it, pretty amazing. And it just shows people are looking for options because like you said, the central banks have run amok.
Yeah. And I think, I don't comment much on Bitcoin because I just get nasty emails, and I don't like to read that kind of language. is you know, there are some competitors starting to peek their head up, and I think we're going to see more. You know, it doesn't take much to create a cryptocurrency, so I think we're going to see more of them. I'm not sure what that really means, though.
Yeah,
I don't know if I buy the idea that it's going to come to, you know, replace gold.
I don't see that. Okay. I don't see that. But the interesting thing is a lot of demand coming from China because Chinese faced with limited options. They can go into real estate. That's a bubble in China. Or they can go into stocks. They're not too enthusiastic about that. So Bitcoin is a bit of a haven for the average Chinese person who's in a bit of a quandary. They can also be in gold and silver as well. But the other thing that's happening, Ned, is transactional volume. Daily transactional volume of Bitcoin is skyrocketing because it cuts transaction costs for if you live in Hong Kong and you work on mainland China. You know, there's a fee for translating your currency into HK dollars, obviously, and for doing a wire transfer. And Bitcoin, I believe, from what I've read, saves you about 80% of the currency transaction fee and the wire transfer fee. So smart Chinese people are using it for that purpose. and it's a way to get reduce credit card transaction fees. It's got a lot of things going for it. And like any new technology, it's going to happen in fits and starts, obviously, but it's going to happen. Whether it becomes the world reserve currency or not, it's got the possibility, because it's, at this point at least, it's free from government tampering, or at least is somewhat shielded from it. And there's not many currencies that you can say that about. So
no, that's true.
You know,
that's true.
So there's a plus. So anyway, the I think you're right. Coming week could be a good opportunity for gold and silver. The Brexit vote, which I think is really just a bunch of noise, although symbolically, I think it is a great opportunity for the masses to stick it to the elites. And if the you know, isn't that what it comes down to? Whatever the real result of it.
Well, you know, the one thing they keep putting out, they keep trying to convince people that this is going to hurt the big banks. And so
all the more
you don't want to vote for them.
All the more reason.
How many voters, you know, I know where the big bank can get sympathy. It's in the dictionary.
Yeah, between SH-T and a certain social disease. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, right.
My father used to say that.
Big bank?
Oh, man, the sooner the... Well, interesting thing. I had John Tamney on. He's a writer for Forbes of all, which is a pretty mainstream magazine. But they do a lot of offbeat kind of financial articles. And he just wrote a book, Who Needs the Fed? And what he's saying, interestingly enough, is that the Fed is losing its relevancy because finance, as it takes place in the real world, is becoming less and less bank centric. And you have, due to technology and other things taking place, many more options to find money when you need it than going through a too big to fail bank. So as a result, the big bank's share of the total credit market is shrinking. And as a result, the Fed's sway and control over things is also shrinking, but nobody's realizing this yet. It's an interesting thesis, and I subscribe to it somewhat, but these people don't go quietly into the night. We know that. So anyways, hey, go take a look at Ned's newsletters. Highly, highly recommended. Just tell us your newsletters again, Ned, how to get them.
The gold letter can be found at valueviewgoldreport.com, and the ag material is at agrifoodvalueview.com.
Yeah, and Ned,
keep it.
Yeah.
Now go ahead.
Oh, and I was just going to say, Ned, you're like one of the most astute observers of agricultural commodities, trends, and the companies that live off of that. So when you say something, I always pay attention to it in that field. And as always, we will have links to Ned's sites in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. Had a great one this week about history being our salvation. Ned, we will talk to you again real soon. Be well.
Take care, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.